Hello again, everyone, and welcome in to That SEC Podcast. This is episode number 16. Hard to believe we've already knocked out 15 of these, and we're on the 16th one here, but football season just passing by day. We're already almost halfway through. I am Cody McClure, joined as always by Michael Bratton, SEC Mike. How's it going, Mike?
I'm doing well. I'm just trying to figure out who had the worst weekend in the SEC. Tennessee getting blown out 41-0 at home, or LSU losing 24-21. They lost to Troy, and I only know one person in the entire world that called that game.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes you just sometimes you just know what you're talking about, right? Yeah, no, look, that game, I told you last week when we recorded, like, if that somehow went through, I was just going to be bragging all night, and I pretty much did. I took everything I could from it. You know, like, I had my reasoning when I picked it back in July or August or whenever it was, but to be honest with you, I mean, it was kind of outlandish, right? Like, I kind of thought it could happen, but did I really think it could happen? I wouldn't have bet money on it, even though I did bet money on Troy to cover the 20.5. But man, it was really interesting. I can't believe it actually happened. So I thought it was cool to see them actually get the W there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that would have been a huge shock coming into the year. But I do kind of agree with you somewhat. You know, after watching LSU the first couple weeks of the season, when this matchup was rolling around, you know, on one of our last episodes, I predicted this game would also be, you know, this would be my lock of the week. Troy with that many points, they have a very similar offense to Syracuse, and Syracuse had a really good chance of winning last week at LSU. And just, you know, matter of factly, this LSU team is just not very good. So, you know, it's a little easy to say that after seeing them several times. But, you know, like I said, you were the only one that picked this in the preseason, but it's just pretty damning of Coach Ogeron, and you know, I don't think it'll cost him his job just this one loss. But if you're looking ahead to, you know, they go to Florida, Auburn, at Ole Miss, at Alabama. If they don't win a game there, I don't see how he survives.
I think there's a very good chance that we could see Ed Orgeron out in year one. I mean, I think that LSU may realize that it made a big mistake in hiring him. And, you know, I think a lot of people could have told him that last year when they made the move. But as we've talked about before, they swung for some big names and they missed and they ended up settling. And so I think you're starting to see that play out and exactly what kind of coach you're going to get there. And look, I mean, I know, you know, you want to give the guys time. I mean, it's only year one, but Ed Orgeron, I never thought was a long-term answer there. And to say that I was shocked to see them lose to Troy, I can't say that. I wasn't shocked. I mean, you know, for one thing, I called it. But, you know, I didn't put my I will say this, though. I didn't put my money where my mouth was. I didn't go money line, you know, like, hey, Troy's going to win the game. There's no doubt. Like,
right.
I did like them to cover that spread, though, and that was you said, you know, I remember you coming, you told me last week, too, you were starting to come along on that side of things, and so I think we did okay there with the spread for sure.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just the most, you know, stark thing to me after watching LSU after 5 weeks, and this really isn't on Coach O, in my opinion, but there's just a real lack of talent on that team, on both the offensive line, the defensive line. You know, we kind of noted coming into the year they didn't really have any good receivers outside of DJ Chark. You know, the quarterback, Danny Etling, is average at best. This is just a team lacking of talent. And, you know, Ed Orgeron is not a guy that can clearly get his team to rise above. You know, he looked like the perfect guy to take over a solid program and just kind of keep it at that level. But even that's becoming such a huge challenge for him.
And that's kind of why I did think that Troy might be able to play with him because, you know, watching LSU last week against Syracuse, that was not a good front. And Syracuse, I mean, LSU couldn't block him. They got beat up front all night. So and you mentioned that not a lot of talent on defense, too. They're wearing thin. They've got a lot of injuries as well. So bad times for LSU, Mike. But let's head over to Knoxville now, which is where I'm currently at. And you find another school here going through bad times. Tennessee shut out for the first time since 1994, 41-0 by Georgia. The worst loss ever for Tennessee in Neyland Stadium.
Yeah, and you know, when you go into a game like that, you know, there was obviously a lot of hype. There was I wouldn't say a lot of expectations that Tennessee would win the game, but you know, you never know coming into a big SEC game at home. You know, you always feel like you have a chance to win that game. On the very first play, Quentin Dormini throws a terrible pass. It's intercepted. And I just think at that moment, I don't think there was any way Tennessee was going to win that game. You know, like, it was literally from the first play. And I don't know if you saw it, but I was watching, I believe it was called The Extra Point. It's like a local Knoxville station where they break it down on Sunday. And they played that Quentin Dormini, the throw. They played it about 8 consecutive times, and each one it just was getting worse and worse. He stares down his receiver, he hesitates, and he just doesn't have it. Like I can't believe not only that he threw that interception, but you know, why are you going 5 wide and throwing to the outside boundary with a quarterback that leads the SEC in turnovers? I understand, you know, Georgia has such a great front that you don't want to just run at them the whole game. But, you know, going into a look of a run and throwing a pass on first down to open the game, I was totally on board with that. Going 5 wide and throwing to the outer boundary on a slow route. I mean, that just kind of says it all for Tennessee right now.
A real head scratcher for Tennessee. I was in the stadium, so I was actually there at the game, and so I watched as the interception happened just immediately, you know, just they come out, throw a pick, first play. I heard that on the TV broadcast on CBS that they had to basically redo the possessions, like with the starting lineups, because they didn't even have time to go through Tennessee's offense because it was off the field in a matter of seconds. So I guess that's what happens when you throw a pick on the first play, but... Yeah, just a total beatdown. Georgia, you know, credit to Georgia. That defense looks very good right now. I will say, I think that the one thing we learned from this weekend, or what I learned, is that we're starting to get some more clarity with who the better teams are and who the best teams in the conference are. And I think right now it's very clear, abundantly clear, that you've got 3 teams that are going to contend for the SEC title. Personally, I don't know what your thoughts are on this. I know you've always been high on Auburn this year. Personally, I think Alabama's still a level above Georgia and Auburn, but I think we've seen Georgia and Auburn emerge clearly as contenders in this conference.
Yeah, and I'm not ready to back off Auburn. I mean, I've been equally as impressed with just about everything they've done that Alabama's done. You know, Alabama's just killed Vanderbilt and Ole Miss, but you know, how good are those teams? They were almost the equal of Florida State, you know, minus some Florida State errors. That was a very similar game as the Auburn-Clemson game. Obviously, that was Auburn's probably their worst performance of the year, and they barely lost it to a team that many people think is the number one team in the nation. You know, so I don't think that's an inexcusable loss. You know, the defenses look about the same. Maybe Alabama might be a little bit better at this point on offense, but... You know, Jarrett Stidham is really starting to come on. You know, he gives them that added dimension that they just have never had under Gus Malzahn, with just such a great deep ball thrower. And, you know, they have the edge in the kicking game. They're obviously going to get the Iron Bowl at home, so they got to go through Georgia before they get to Alabama. But, you know, if they win both those games, I don't think there's any way they're not going to the college football playoff, and they would be my number one team. And then, well, maybe not number one, depending on what Clemson does, but... I think they've got to be in the top 2 or 3 if they were to beat both of those teams. Then another game that I was really interested in coming into the weekend, Texas A&M, South Carolina. You know, I thought the loser of this game, you know, is going to set up for a really tough year for either team. Texas A&M's got a really tough stretch upcoming, but obviously they won the game 24-17, and they set up a really nice game against Alabama next week, and they get to host Alabama. They're going to be a huge underdog in that game, but hey, they've got literally nothing to lose in that one. They're expected to lose. You know, they got this really young team that's playing better and better each week. And on the flip side, South Carolina, that's a tough, tough loss for them. They haven't played Tennessee, Georgia, or Florida, and they've already got two SEC losses. In my mind, they essentially will have to sweep those three if they have any hope of winning the East.
Yeah, and I do really like what I've seen so far from Texas A&M. Obviously, the week one loss was horrible, and people wanted Sumlin out right then. But you look at what's happened since, and they've just kind of quietly reeled off four in a row here, and I think A&M has been playing a lot better football. And so I don't expect them to contend with Alabama. I think they're going to lose significantly in that game, but still yet, you're looking at 4-2, and I think you've got some chances to make a little noise down the stretch. So, you know, maybe Kevin Sumlin can preserve that Texas A&M season. Maybe he can right the ship there. I don't know. But I do like the fact that A&M has been playing better. And the thing that I try to tell people, you know, that I don't think A&M is a great team. SEC speaking, I don't even know that I would have them in the top five. But you got to realize that UCLA game, I know they tanked in the end, but they had played well enough to lead UCLA 44-10 in that game. So I think A&M's better than we give them credit for. I was pleased to see that they were able to take down South Carolina. And then one of the other significant games that we haven't talked about, I know, is Vanderbilt and Florida as well. Florida Gators are starting to look a little bit better.
Yeah, they've progressively gotten better and better each week in my book. I thought they looked terrible week one. I thought they kind of looked terrible again against Tennessee. You know, they had their moments. You know, Kentucky, they weren't bad. I think they were average, and they caught some really good breaks. This is the first kind of complete game they've put together. You know, they let Kyle Shurmur kind of throw wild on them, though. He threw for only 264 yards, but he had three touchdowns, and that was after the first two possessions of the game. He looked terrible, but so it was good to see him rebound a little bit. But I thought the running game and the offensive line for Florida was, you know, they seem to be putting it together there.
Yeah, Florida I thought looked better. I still don't think personally, I still don't know that the East, that there's really anybody in the East that I would even expect to challenge Georgia at this point. Like we kind of talked about it, in my eyes, it's a three-team race between Georgia, Alabama, and Auburn. And the thing that's tough for Auburn, like I said earlier, you draw Clemson and Georgia before you even have to play Alabama. So I think that makes it really tough. And I think Alabama does have the easiest road. But any other games before we get into our lines here, like we usually do on the first podcast of the week, any other games from this weekend that were intriguing at all to you?
Well, I mean, there's just not much to say about Alabama. I mean, they killed Ole Miss 66-3. They essentially had all their backups in by the third quarter. So, I mean, that was a bloodbath. Arkansas, they took care of business against New Mexico State. That was nice to see. And Kentucky just continues to play down to the level of their competition. Just barely beat Eastern Michigan 24-20. Not a lot of takeaways from those.
Yeah, I will say it was a pretty good gambling weekend. I think you and I kind of hit. I know that I don't want to speak for you, but I know that for me, I did about as well this weekend as I've done all season, so which was good because the last 2 weeks I had taken some lumps. But this weekend went pretty well. Most of these games went, honestly, about like I thought that they were going to go. The only one that didn't was Florida and Vanderbilt, because I thought that would be kind of a low-scoring game, more of a dogfight, and I know I think you and I both had Vanderbilt with the points there, and Florida ended up winning by 14. So that was the only one that really surprised me.
Yeah, you know, one other team that I kind of forgot to mention, Mississippi State, obviously a tough loss at Auburn, lost 49-10. And I see a lot of people kind of down on Mississippi State, kind of trashing them. And I think that, you know, that's going a step too far, in my opinion. I think they just played, you know, the second and the third best. I don't know what order you want to put those two in, but they just traveled to both Georgia and Auburn, got beat down in both. But, you know, I think for a young Mississippi State team to go on the road, that's kind of what would have happened to any team outside of Alabama. I think there's a lot to work with there with Mississippi State. I like a lot of their talent on defense. It just when they get down early in these big games, their offense is not capable of coming back. And I think that's kind of why it got out of hand there at the end. But you know, if they're able to stick with teams, especially when they get them at home at Starkville, I think this is they're no longer in the top 25, but I think they're right there on the cusp of being one of the best 25 teams in the nation based on what I've seen the first 5 weeks.
I would tend to agree with that. Even though they've been blown out 2 weeks in a row, I'm totally with you on that. I don't think that Mississippi State is going to go away. I think you look down the stretch: BYU, Kentucky, A&M, UMass. They've got some games that are very winnable. I mean, I could very well see Mississippi State winning its next four games and being 7-2 before the Alabama game. So I'm right there with you. I still think State, even though they've been blown out the last 2 weeks, I think they're one of the better teams in the conference.
All right. Well, let's get into the Week 6 lines, our weekly contest here.
My favorite time of the week.
Let's start with the new matchup. It's Georgia, number 5 in the nation, traveling to Vanderbilt. And let's see here. You know, of course, Vanderbilt beat Georgia in Athens last year, so this is a bit of a revenge game. I thought the line would be Georgia minus 13. You said Georgia minus 16, and you're right on the mark. It opened at Georgia minus 16.
How about that? Right at 16. Man, I'm off to a good start. I feel like maybe you kind of, last week, though, you got off to a good start, so I feel like you're kind of buttering me up here, like, you're giving me this one first, so I'll get overconfident now.
Well, it's interesting to me. You know, this past week was a bit of a revenge game for Georgia, and they're gonna do it again here with Vanderbilt. So, I was thinking there might be a bit of a drop off here. I wasn't ready to give them the 2 touchdown, 14 points, but I knew it'd be right around there. So 16 is a high number for a Vanderbilt team that has a pretty solid defense, in my opinion.
I did think it would be somewhere in the teens, and I'm with you. I think I started at about 14.5, and then I thought, you know, I think it may go up. So I considered like 16 or 18 because of the fact that it is a road game. But we've seen Georgia so far this year. Georgia, they just won on the road, first of all, in Neyland Stadium, which is not even, I mean, that is a far tougher environment than what Vanderbilt's going to provide. And we've already seen Vanderbilt get blown out by Alabama at home. And so I think Georgia, I don't think they'll have any problem going on the road. And honestly, just my initial thoughts here, I think Georgia may cover it. I mean, Florida just beat that Vanderbilt team by 2 touchdowns, and I think Georgia's a far superior team to both of those teams. So right now I would lean with Georgia covering the 16.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to argue that one. All right, the other noon game next week, this will be on SEC Network. Ole Miss travels to Auburn. Auburn's number 13 in the nation, I believe. And I thought the line would be Auburn minus 20. You said Auburn minus 24, and it opened at Auburn minus 21. So I was only one off there.
Yeah, so you were a lot closer on that one. I was a little too high at 24. That one I could see. To me, like once you get up to that point, once you get to 3 scores, it's like I don't know that I would be all that surprised to see it anywhere from 20 to 30. You know, because I think that's about right for this game. We just saw Ole Miss lose by 63 points to Alabama, and I think Auburn, at least, I don't think they're playing as well as Alabama, but they're kind of on that upper tier level. So I do expect this to be somewhat of a blowout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know if you saw this play, but we actually did an article on it on Saturday Down South, but Shea Patterson, one of his first interceptions against Alabama, it was essentially on a slant route where the receiver kind of got beat by the defensive back from Alabama. And after the receiver saw the interception, he just, it's almost like he started smoking a cigarette. Like he was totally disinterested in the play, started walking the wrong way. The entire Alabama defense is, you know, as soon as one of their guys gets their hands on the ball, they know immediately what to do. It's almost like a kick return unit. They're already looking for their blocks. And they just ran, it was like a 30-yard pick six. And you know, this was not at a point where the game was a 50-point game. This was like a 7-point game at the time, and that was just a terrible, terrible sign. That was DeMarcus Lodge just gave up on the play, and that kind of set it all for me. It seems like the Rebels are already kind of quitting on the year.
Yeah, they remind me a lot of Tennessee right now. I don't know that you have a lot of leadership on that team, and I don't think that there's a lot of good direction in the locker room. You know, I kind of thought coming into the year that would be the biggest issue for Ole Miss, is like, despite the talent that they do have at receiver, and you know, I think Shea Patterson's a good quarterback, but they don't have a lot of leadership on that team, I don't think. So I know the play that you were talking about, and I just I do think Auburn will handle that Ole Miss team.
Yeah, and I think people kind of underestimate just how good of a coach Hugh Freeze was. You know, in my mind, he was the SEC's second best heading into this year. So going from Hugh Freeze down to Matt Luke has been a significant, significant drop there.
Yes, it has.
All right, the SEC game on CBS this week is LSU at Florida. This is going to be a, you know, a big rivalry game, and hopefully they LSU can get up for this game after the Troy loss. But despite you know, all the negatives I have to say against Florida, I thought they'd be nearly a touchdown favorite. I said Florida minus 6.5, and so did you. Florida minus 6.5, and it opened at Florida minus 5.
Yeah, this one was funny because you sent me the 6.5, and I just thought long and hard about it, and I was like, you know what? Like, I want to be different than you usually, so we can have a little, you know, back and forth on a, you know, our numbers are typically a bit different, but I really thought 6.5 sounded good, so I just kind of copied what you said on that one, and it turns out we weren't too far off on that one, though, just 1.5.
Yeah, and I believe it may have already moved up to 6.5 from what I've seen, you know, suggesting a lot of people going heavy on Florida as soon as that came out. You know, clearly Florida looks like the better team at this point, but, you know, it'll be very interesting for me to see how this team plays without Luke Del Rio. He's out for the year. Felipe Franks, you know, at times he looks fantastic, but more often than not, he doesn't look comfortable in the pocket. It looks like he doesn't know what he's doing in the offense. So I don't know about this game. I really like LSU to come out here play with a lot of passion. There's, you know, they've owned Florida in recent years. Last year, you know, of course they lost the game, but prior to that, I think they had won 3 or 4 in a row. They have just as much talent, in my opinion, as Florida. And you know, last year we saw this when LSU loses a game, you know, Ed Orgeron has had a really good job of getting his guys to bounce back. You know, this could be different, but I don't know. I think with everything on the line, I think they really do like Coach O. I think they'll play for him next week, and you know, not to spoil anything, but I'm already kind of leaning towards LSU winning this game outright.
It's funny you say that, Mike, because, you know, I don't think that you and I are really disagreeing on a lot yet this week. We will as the week goes along, I'm sure. But I'm kind of with you here. I'm kind of with you on LSU. As bad as they've looked against Syracuse and Troy, I kind of feel like there's only one way to go for LSU, and it's up. I feel like it's gut check time for LSU. And I do think that they will come into this game and play well. Even though they're kind of wearing thin on defense, I do think the talent is still there for LSU. And the thing you got to remember about this series, these two teams hate each other. I remember writing about this game coming into the year and just kind of talking to people from both sides of this game. And, I mean, these are fan bases, two of the nastier fan bases, in my opinion, in the SEC. I mean, this has just got like a 17-13 bloodbath written all over it. Like, not a bloodbath, but like, you know, just grinded out, just dirty. Just team guys smashing into each other. I mean, this just seems like a nasty football game. It's going to be one in the trenches, low scoring, bad blood between the teams. So I don't know that I'm ready to say I'm leaning to LSU to win, but I like LSU to cover. I think this is probably a 3 or 4 point game.
All right. The next game up, the SEC Network game of 4 o'clock. Arkansas travels to South Carolina. This was a tough one for me, and you know, it's really hard to make know what to make of either one of these teams. I said South Carolina would be favored by 2. You said it would be a pick 'em, and it opened up at Arkansas -1.
Okay.
So I'll give you that one because you're 1 point off. I was two off.
Yeah, I guess we were both kind of. I am very proud of how we've been doing these, though, because we are pretty close on most of these. I don't want to speak too soon because we still got 2 to go. But, I think that it's pretty easy to see in this game why it would be close to a 1 or 2 point spread or even a pick 'em, because these are two teams that we just, like you said, we don't know a ton about them yet. We've got a better sample size, I think, on the better teams in the conference, talking about Auburn and Georgia and Alabama. We've talked about them. South Carolina, you really don't know what to make of them, like, because they struggled past Louisiana Tech, but then they went to A&M and had what were they up 17-3 or 17-7 in that game? I mean, played well, mm-hmm. lost by 7. These two teams have one common opponent in A&M. Arkansas also lost by 7. To be honest with you, I really don't know what to think about it just yet.
Yeah, and you kind of were mentioning how big of a deal this next week will be for LSU. It's kind of the same deal for each of these teams. You know, if Arkansas can't get this win, I don't know. If you're looking at when are they going to get an SEC win, things could get really ugly for them. I think it's much more important for the Razorbacks, but then again, they're traveling all the way to Columbia, so, you know, it's not going to be easy. I don't really like the way South Carolina's playing. They showed a lot of heart in this last game, but I think, you know, they're kind of starting to become decimated by injuries. They put a lot in this Texas A&M game. They were up by, I believe, 10 points in the fourth quarter. They gave up 14 to Texas A&M. I think that could be just emotionally devastating to a young South Carolina team.
So at this point, you would lean with Arkansas?
I think I would, but I was just kind of thinking going into the spread, I think these are basically two tough teams to predict, so I just wanted to give a slight edge to South Carolina. Now, I wasn't ready to give them the whole 3-point home field advantage, so that's kind of why I was leaning by 2, but I could see this number shifting one way or the other as we go through the week.
Well, once again, I mean, we're really not disagreeing on anything here. I think I would lean with Arkansas, too. At this point in time, I think that the Hogs are probably the better team. So it is in Columbia, though, which is why I think the spread's so close. But I can't disagree with you on this one. So it should it'll be fun to see how this line moves, though.
All right, the night game on ESPN, number 1 Alabama going to Texas A&M. I thought the line would open at -27 for Alabama. You said Alabama -21, and it actually opened at Alabama -25.5, so I was only a point and a half off on that one.
25.5, okay. Well, my initial thoughts to that are that Alabama is very much we've seen Vegas shift the lines. We talked about this a little bit earlier today. The LSU line has already moved by, what, about 10 now from where it was last week, mm-hmm. from 14 to 24. The Tennessee line moved from 24 to about 35. Vegas, I think Vegas is trying to figure out just how good Alabama is. The one thing I'll say about this line, and these are just my initial thoughts, so we could definitely change as the week goes along and we see and hear other things, but Alabama, I don't think Vanderbilt and Ole Miss were very good, and I think Alabama is great, and they were able to beat up on those teams, but I would expect a little more of a fight from Texas A&M, I especially in College Station. I don't know that A&M will be able to cover 25.5 or not, but I think it may be close. I think this may be closer to a 42-14 game. I don't think it's going to be 66-0 or something like that.
You know, one factor to kind of consider going into this game, you know, Kellen Mond kind of fits the style of quarterback that Alabama's had trouble with in the past. You know, a running quarterback that can throw it down the field. Now, from what we've seen from him, he's not terribly accurate passing yet, but, you know, that's something to consider. If he has kind of like the game of his life, you know, the Texas A&M runs a very simple offense. It's I don't want to say dumbed down, but it's simplified for the young quarterback. And he's been making a lot of really good reads, but they've been running a lot of, you know, zone option, read option, and pulling guards. And, you know, it's been some interesting stuff to watch, but it'll be interesting to see how Alabama attacks that, because I think they're going to make Kellen Mond throw it down the field. And if he does it, I there's a good chance they can cover the spread.
The problem is, how much confidence can you really have in him to do it? You know, that's the thing I wonder about most of these SEC quarterbacks, is if anybody is really good enough to challenge Alabama. Mm-hmm. And I just haven't seen enough from him, I don't think, to think that they can. And to be honest with you, Alabama has been good against the spread this year. I think they are 4-1 against the spread. And so, even if this line stays around 25.5, I do think Alabama, I would tend to lean with Alabama covering 4 or 5 touchdowns. It just seems to me like it might be a little more respectable. And with that said, respectable in this game may be 42-14 or 49-14. But I don't think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be like 70-0, you know?
So you have so much respect in A&M that they could only lose by 30 points.
Yeah, exactly. That should be a compliment to Aggies fans, because
I don't know. I'm just telling you, you know, this quarterback came in with so much hype. I don't want to say he's completely lived up to it, but this is going to be a night game. He's going to be playing it at home. There's going to be no pressure to win it. Like, literally no one is going to pick at Texas A&M to win this game. If he just can, if you know, he was essentially a 5-star. He went to IMG academies. He left high school to become more prepared for the collegiate level. I mean, a guy like this is trained for these moments. You know, I could just kind of see, you know, him just playing free, playing loose, and you know, if they have that Deshaun Watson level performance, running the ball, throwing the ball, things could get interesting, in my opinion.
And that's all fine and dandy. I just, you know, I think in this game, 42-14 is interesting. I think, you know, I don't know, man. I'm riding Alabama. Like, the thing is, though, Alabama's no Mississippi State. They're no Vanderbilt. There's no inconsistency here. Like, it's just, Bama just does Bama, you know, so.
And speaking of that, did you see that? I don't know if you caught any of Saban's post game, but he was pretty pissed off that they won 66-3.
Yeah, it's too bad they could only win by 63 points, you know. Alabama fans, man, they have no idea what it's like to be a normal SEC fan. Like, if there are any Alabama fans out there listening to the podcast, like, congratulations. Just enjoy your life, you know. Enjoy being what you are and your football program while you have it, because there will come a day, you know, it's going to be probably a long time from now, but there will come a day where Alabama struggles again sometime. And, like, just enjoy it while you can, because Alabama fans have absolutely nothing to complain about.
Well, besides the fact they live in Alabama.
Well, now there's that.
All right, so final game, SEC Network, game of the night. This won't be much of a game, I don't think, but Missouri at Kentucky. I thought Kentucky would be an 8-point favorite. You said Kentucky 9.5-point favorite. And the Wildcats actually open up a 14.5-point favorite. So you win that game, and you have won the week.
Well, how about that? That's good news. I'm happy to win this week. you know, talking about this game, though, Mike, like, I don't know. I'm not surprised to see it's more than we thought it would be. But the only thing about Kentucky, I think on paper, they're way better than Missouri. I could see them winning this game by 3 or 4 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. But like we talked about earlier, they play down to, I mean, you look at Eastern Michigan, Eastern Kentucky, Southern Miss. Like, they have struggled in all of their games against inferior teams.
Yeah, and as we've seen in other SEC games, they have issues covering receivers. And if that happens again, I mean, Drew Lock will burn them. So, you know, we've not seen them really face a team that's going to try to do this type of stuff to them, spread them out, throw it all over the field. They've faced a lot more physical teams, and, you know, they should be able to manhandle Missouri on the lines of scrimmage. But, you know, I don't know. We'll see how this one plays out. But, you know, this is going to be a tough one, because I could obviously would lean towards Kentucky to win the game. But I would think I would like Missouri to get a cheap touchdown at the end to potentially cover a 2+ touchdown spread.
I think that Kentucky should cover the spread, but it's hard to say whether or not they will, because we haven't seen them really take care of business in any game against an inferior opponent just yet. So it's hard to say. Is the game in Lexington?
It is.
It is in Lexington. So I do think Kentucky should come out. I think they should cover a double-digit spread, but not ready to say that they will.
Well, you know what they say, Kroger Field is an intimidating place.
Yeah, and Kentucky has only lost one game ever at Kroger Field. And that was a game they led in the fourth quarter against Florida. So an absolutely just incredibly tough place to play.
And had they played defense with 11 men, they'd probably be undefeated there.
Yeah, they probably would. Maybe they'll have some corners against Missouri.
And let me ask you this, because I've taken a significant amount of heat. I don't know if you've seen that I do this at all, but...
Well, great. I want to get involved in that.
As soon as all the games are over on Saturday night, I tweet out, you know, a power rankings. And, you know, this is just... It's kind of meaningless. I don't know why people get so upset about it, but, you know, I kind of enjoy that they do. And I had Kentucky 2 spots higher than Florida. And just Gator Nation has just ripped me a new one on Twitter. And, you know, I've gone back at them and just said, essentially, if these teams met next week on a neutral field, I just think that Kentucky's a better team. I think Kentucky wins that game. And they cannot seem to grasp that fact. So I'm curious to know what you think. If Kentucky and Florida met with, you know, all the everyone that's injured is injured, everyone suspended, just the rosters that they currently stand today, which team would you favor?
So Florida fans, I'm assuming, are mad at you because they just beat Kentucky on their home field.
Mm-hmm.
But you said right now you think Kentucky would have an advantage on a neutral field.
I think they'd straight up beat them. I do.
Okay, I'm guessing that's what has them rattled, though. I mean, I haven't seen it, but that's
I mean, that and, you know, just the fact they think that their team is significantly more talented than Kentucky, even though I haven't seen that on the field this year.
Well, so, like, if you look at the box score in the game that they played, statistically, Florida fans made sure to point this out to me, too, because I wrote about it a couple weeks ago and said that Kentucky dominated in a lot of areas of the game. Mm-hmm. And statistically, if you look, Florida dominated most areas of the game. But you did get a sense that Kentucky was the better team in that game. You know, if Kentucky covers 2 plays, like we just mentioned, I mean, in 27-14 in the fourth quarter, Kentucky blew it. So on a neutral field, if they played again, do I think it's crazy to pick Kentucky? No, not at all. I mean, I don't think you're off base with that presumption. At the same time, I do think Florida's playing better right now. Since that game, I like what they did to Vanderbilt on Saturday. So either way, I think it's probably a field goal game. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't really have a hot take on it, you know? Like, I don't know that Florida would win. I would probably, I guess if I'm being honest, I might lean with Florida on a neutral field, but I don't think what you said is crazy.
Well, they certainly do, and I'm enjoying those takes, that's for sure.
Any death threats yet?
No, but I've got plenty, you know, they've figured out I'm from Tennessee, so they've suggested that my father is actually my uncle, or that I'm married to my mother and whatnot, but... you know, I don't know who would be saying this. People that have been down to the swamps of there, Florida or Gainesville. It's not exactly the most classy people down there, but
no. No, you got some pretty interesting folks down there. Those Florida and Louisiana people, the swamp people, there's some there's some interesting folks down there. Now, you know, up here, I get it. I get the criticism. Like in Tennessee, you've got the hills and the hillbillies, but I mean, at least those people are just like, you know, making moonshine and meth and stuff. I mean, the people down in the swamps, I don't know what the hell they're doing, but. I don't know. That's a common NBC thing to criticize the other team's fan base for incest. So I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know who's. I don't know what the deal is with that. But
and I personally don't take offense to that. I come from a very attractive family, so.
Well, hey, there you go. Hey. Oh man. Well, I hope you can fend off the Gators this week, and. I think that who does Florida play this week? Did we talk? Is Florida off?
No, Florida is. They're hosting LSU.
LSU, yeah, I forgot. We talked about it. That should be a good. Well, you get all the swamp people in that one, so it should be a lot of fun. They'll just all be breeding in the stands.
Ooh.
Anyway, well, I guess that pretty much wraps this one up.
That's a good place to end this one.
Good ending, I think. I get anything else? I guess we'll be back later in the week.
No, I'm just looking forward to the next episode.
Me too, man. Good weekend of football. Hope everybody out there enjoyed the weekend of football, unless you were, of course, a Tennessee fan or an LSU fan, and then you most certainly didn't. But hopefully this week can be better for everybody. This has been episode number 16 of That SEC Podcast. We will see you in a couple days for predictions. So have a good one. Enjoy the week. We'll see you next time.